Welcome back, The Lighter Side, Joe Grammatico and Tom Kaliopoulos, and today we're talking the Western Conference qualifying round, who's going to play in and make the playoffs. Tom, how's it going?
Joe, it's going well. Understand that we got a little more clarity in the way of dates for the qualifying playoff situation. I'd like to go over some of the notes with you, a little bit of some new news. We kind of talked about this a while ago, and, you know, I guess we finally found out the hub cities are going to be, Joe, to start off with.
Yeah, lay it on us.
Well, we got surprised. I believe Toronto was going to be one of them, which it is. I think they were going to do the other one in Vegas until they had another spike in the, pandemic coronavirus numbers. So they went back up to Canada, and they're going to play it over in Edmonton. So, Toronto, I'm not so sure about. I think the Edmonton pick, I think, is a good one. So the Western side, which we're going to be talking about, today, the series, qualifying series, are all going to be played out of there. I believe both sides, the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference, they travel out to these hub cities on the 23rd and the 24th. And I believe training camp starts July 10th, Joe, which is tomorrow.
Yeah, it's crazy that we're talking about training camp in July. But
right. 2-week training camp, Joe. That's what they're going with.
Okay, look at it. Yeah, I'm still not sure about Toronto as a hub city. I haven't really followed the numbers up there in Canada, but I feel like there's so many other places that they could have safely housed everyone in a smaller market. Edmonton's a good pick, but we've talked before, Columbus and some of the other towns that are kind of not so heavily populated that could have adequately housed NHL teams, 8 of them.
So. Yeah, Joe. I mean, it's difficult because, another thing that came up, I was watching Fox News, and I believe I forwarded this to you. It was late at night. I'm getting my Fox News on, keeping up on my politics, and I'm surprised to see along the ticker about some NHL news. And they basically told me the players' union agreed to come back only if they, added a 4-year deal on the collective bargaining agreement. Did you hear that? I sent that message to you. I know you're probably sleeping, though.
Yep, I got the message from you. I didn't dig in deeper to it other than the note you sent. But that's interesting that comes up now and not before they started putting all these plans in place. So I wonder what the heck they're trying to do here.
Well, I think it's a players union. Basically, they're shrinking that time frame, that window, and I believe they probably thought it would give them better leverage, and they're probably right.
Right.
So it makes sense. It's a good leveraging tool, because they've been trying to get that thing done for a couple years now. And Bill Daly, also some more news, the deputy commissioner of all this, basically said that there are ongoing discussions about how the games are going to be shown nationally. I think the qualifying rounds are going to be shown with the local regions, which really surprised me, just for finance cost. I thought they would do everything nationally, they're not sure about how they're going to do that. I think it's going to be more like and we mentioned this, Joe, about I think it was going to be more set up the schedule, the viewing schedule, and how many times they were going to play, like the Olympic tournament.
Right.
There are going to be 3 different games. So you're going to have in the East and West hub cities, you're going to have six total games a day. So that's going to whet the appetites of many hockey people.
Yeah.
Could cause marriages to break up. You know.
How brutal is that going to be on the ice crew?
It's going to be a nightmare, especially like here in Michigan, Joe. I'm up here by Rochester. I know you're fairly close to that. We're hitting 90 now for probably the seventh straight day.
It's at least seven.
But oppressive heat index numbers. I can only imagine if that continues. Edmonton usually has the best ice in the league, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a given. I'm not sure I ever heard anything bad about Air Canada Center, but you know they're going to be hard pressed to get the best ice guys over there working on that to make sure it maintains, because I'm sure they're going to do morning skates and timing things in local rinks to save on the ice condition.
Right. They'll have to. There's just not enough time in the day to play that many games and get morning skates in for each team and then the teams that aren't playing to practice.
Right. And I don't know how effective those are going to be. I think they're keeping the numbers around 12 players per skate. So, you know, really, what can you do? I mean, maybe get power play units together, penalty kill units, the first team penalty kill and power play working together. And then the second team, that equates to about 12 players.
Right.
But other than that, it's that's pretty much the latest things that I've learned, other than what I mentioned in our last show with the mock draft, where Bettman mentioned that it's technically this qualifying round is not a playoff.
Well, we talked about that. We talked about that when the whole debacle happened with the lottery, and when we talked about the East, what Toronto, I think I brought up with Toronto, if they win the qualifying round, does it count as a playoff win or not? So now we know the answer. No playoff win for Toronto if they win in the qualifying round.
Then they get bounced straight in the second. They could win the series. They could win the series, the qualifying round, and then get bounced in four straight in the second and still have no
playoff wins.
Yeah, I sent some funny memes out. I don't know if I sent it out to you too, but I had a Stanley Cup logo, and then I had a Maple Leaf logo like 6 feet from each other, and it says Toronto's social distancing since 1967.
Oh, perfect.
And I thought that was pretty funny. My Leaf slappy friend, But yeah, it just amazes me because he says it's not technically a playoff round, these play-in rounds. It's just to get to the 16-team customary playoff format. Now, here's another problem I have with this, Joe, before we get into these matchups.
Yep.
What happens with the playoff scoring? You know how we had these past shows about Conn Smythe snubs and everything?
Yeah, this can't
count. So let's say the eight teams that move on, they're just going to have to wipe clean those point totals?
Yeah, these these aren't going to count as regular season points. So yeah, what do these points count as?
No, I'm just saying, you use that to gauge Conn Smythe winners, and so they're gonna be playing a series, possibly five games, and all their point production. Let's say Kaner has he gets them by, Edmonton in an upset, and he scores 12 points doing it. Those are all wiped out.
Yep,
and it's just another like notch to show this is a crap system.
Yes.
It wasn't thought out, but I guess you can't punish the other teams that are, higher seeds, top four seeds, because they're going to be playing just for that, right? They're not going no five-game format.
Yeah, I don't know how they're doing this play-in seeding. I haven't heard, other than that they're playing each other for how they're going to be seeded, so I haven't heard anything.
I think they're doing a round-robin format between each four teams in each conference.
Okay.
Which, I don't know, what does that equate to, Joe? So do your math. Pull your nerds out for me.
Well, they would only play three games then, right? They're just going to play each team once on a point system like the Olympic round-robin?
Yeah, and then maybe
3 points for a win, one for a tie, or they're not going to let them tie.
And then what if two teams tie though? Do those teams have to play an extra game to figure out who's going to get that extra? That's a rough way to go.
Yeah, they'll probably be based on goal scoring, exactly, I guess, or differential.
They have to do something. I would just have them play three games, and that's enough to get their timing back.
Right.
But also, now here's another thing before we get into it. This is interesting to me. I did hear somebody say that the teams during training camp, or was this baseball? I'm getting the two sports mixed up. They heard Gardenhire today on an interview, and he was saying that they went to a 60-game schedule.
Right.
So they're not going to like a hardcore training camp. They're just going right into this thing. Or they're having like a very minimal training camp. They're doing these inter-squad games as we speak. But the teams have an option to go play a different squad. So he says they have an option to do that. Some teams might do it, some might not. They might not want the burden or put their team in any, if they believe this COVID thing for what it is, they might not want to put their team in harm's way until they have to get to the regular season. But, you know, I mean, with this hockey thing, at those top four seeds, you know, they're going to get enough games, and I think, and it's only going to benefit them because they only have to play three games to figure it out before they go into the seven.
Right. Let's jump into the qualifying round. So we get our first note: the four teams that get a bye, the St. Louis Blues, Colorado Avalanche, the Vegas Golden Knights, and the Dallas Stars are the teams that will be participating in that round robin format to see how they're going to be seeded 1 through 4 once the playoffs start. But for the qualifying round, let's start with the first matchup. The 5-seed Edmonton Oilers put up 225 goals for and 217 against, are going to take on the 12-seed Chicago Blackhawks, who scored 212 times and gave up 218. And the Hawks beat the Oilers 2 out of 3 times during the regular season. I don't know if any of that matters now that it's July, but note from the year.
Yeah, Joe, I mean, comment first. I think Edmonton finished with 83 points, Chicago 72. You'd think that would be a big disparity, but it doesn't seem like much. But I'm not sure if Chicago wants to get into track meet. Both teams have scorers. Okay. Believe it's going to be a high scoring series. I don't know if Chicago wants to go down that road. I'd almost, you know, for instance, you got the Oilers and the luxury of, and this is going to sound familiar to Detroit fans. Lately, what they've done is separate McDavid and Draisaitl.
Mm-hmm.
So you got Draisaitl centering a second line, okay, with Ryan Nugent Hopkins. They were very successful. And a lot of that came on when the injury came about for McDavid, so they had to kind of, you know, stretch things out a little bit and buy some time until McDavid came back. Well, they got a revelation through all that injury, and now – they kind of run McDavid and Draisaitl like the Wings did Zetterberg and Datsyuk, and like the Penguins did and currently do with Crosby and Malkin. So we saw the matchup problems this is going to present for Chicago is going to be tantamount. It's going to create problems, and Chicago's defense is probably the worst in this playoff. It's going to get ugly. It's either going to get really ugly, or you're going to have Chicago's coach. Who's coaching over there now?
In Chicago?
Yeah, do you have that?
I just clicked off of it.
All right. Well,
Jeremy Colton.
All right, he's gonna have to be on his A game because he's gonna have to come up with a system. And what I would do, I wouldn't match power for power. Even though Chicago, you know, they got seven players with at least 10 goals or better. Edmonton has 8, mm-hmm. and Chicago has about 6 players with 30 plus points. Edmonton has 7. So you think, okay, well, that's pretty close. You know, firepower for firepower. Let's do it. And hope Corey Crawford can out-duel the goaltender for Edmonton. But I wouldn't go down that road because the difference is on the back end as well. I think Edmonton has a much better defensive core to prevent opportunity. Chicago's still giving up 35 shots a game, which is like 29th best in the NHL. And I don't think they want to go down that road. I think their goal to success, Joe, is they're going to have to be maybe to bog the middle down and then hope that because Chicago is not the same team they were throughout the year. They got guys coming back from injury. I mean, like you said, it's a 3-month layoff. So throw the records out of really most of anything that happened in the regular season. You got Kirby Doc coming back and Strom and DeBrinket and Andrew Shaw. These are guys that can make a difference in their own way. And I'm looking for you got Brandon Saad's coming back. He had missed 13 games with an ankle injury. So my thing for Chicago is to keep puck possession, force Edmonton and McDavid and Draisaitl to play some defense, and that's your best chance. And then hopefully secondary scoring comes in. The Blackhawks are going to need at least one unpredictable player to have a 9-point series. Something that they didn't expect in order for them, I think, to pull an upset here. If that happens, I think they can take it to 5 games and it's going to be a you pick 'em series. But if they let Edmonton roll and continue to just come at them in waves, it's going to be probably a 3-game series and the games are going to be pretty lopsided, Joe. What's your take?
Yeah, I always, when it gets into teams like a young team like Edmonton taking on a team that's been there before in Chicago, I feel like if any team in this qualifying round on either side could play the spoiler role, it would be Chicago, just with the Kane factor. He can get hot and carry a series. But like you said, if he's going up against either Draisaitl or McDavid, they're going to neutralize him to some extent. I worry about, you know, Corey Crawford, he's getting up there in age. So is he going to pull a hammy or a groin in this series early on? You never know. These guys are well conditioned, but it's an interesting off season. Delay. So it's a tough one. I think it's going to be a high scoring series, like you said. And I think at the end, it's going to have to come down to goaltending and experience. And I think if Corey Crawford can play solid, I think Chicago can do just enough to squeak by in 5 games and pull the upset off in this one. So I'm taking the Hawks to pull up the upset.
Ooh. Well, Joe, I did. I pulled up some numbers, and I think Crawford's going to have to stand on his head for that to happen. And when they won the cup, Joe, he had a 2.35 goals against average, and he had a 0.930 save percentage. He's going to have to mimic those numbers and maybe even be better.
For sure.
That's a high save percentage when you're getting 35 pieces of rubber thrown at you. You know, that's the only way I see them. And then obviously their experience could play a factor. I think Edmonton has the two key players only have 13 playoff games between them experience. Mm-hmm. So that could come into play too. So let's see what happens early in the series. If something doesn't fall their way,
right,
bad bounce. Let's see if that inexperience and the experience of Chicago tell a tale.
Right.
That'll be interesting.
Yeah. They got Mike Smith and Net in Edmonton, but what are the chances what are the chances the young guy plays?
I can see that. Mike Smith has had playoff experience, but He's been around a long time. You got to go with the hot guy, though. I don't know. I know Chicago, for instance, I believe, weren't they like 7-3 in their last 10 games before this shutdown?
They like you were. Said,
that doesn't really.
Yeah, they were 6-4. They were making a push. They weren't going to sniff the playoffs, but they were pushing.
No, but and they still were giving up a bushel full of shots. Mm-hmm. Hockey experts saying they improved like down the stretch, and they instead of 35 shots, they were giving up 34. It's like, right. Trust me, it's not going to make a difference. And you know, it's going to come down to secondary scoring for Chicago. Also, they're going to need unexpected punch from somebody, but their defense, Joe, is just really bad. And you know, even in some of their glory days, you know, they you could run through them. Mm-hmm. You know, they went through little spurts where teams were exposing them. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. It's the big guys are going to have to play a lot of minutes. Taze, Kane, Keith, Seabrook, I'm not counting on anymore. He's kind of on a downside. He's coming off an injury too. But so that's what I think about that series, Joe. You're thinking upset. I'm thinking it could go one of two ways. I think Edmonton will win either way. But, you know, a lot of things are going to have to happen right for Chicago to even be in it.
Right. Next matchup, 6-11, Nashville Predators against the Arizona Coyotes. They split during their season series. Nashville scored 215 times and gave up 217 goals. The Coyotes, they're a team that doesn't score, but they also don't give up any goals. They were tied for the third fewest goals against in the league at 187, but they only put the puck in the net 195 times. So we're going to have a battle here of a big team that scores versus a team that's stingy defensively.
Yeah, I still think Nashville underachieved all year, Joe. I mean, they had a lot of key players that did not have good years. This is another opportunity for them to salvage a rather disappointing season as a team and individually. People got to remember, though, Joe, the Arizona kind of a season that is the tale of two teams. They really came out of the hopper good. They were winning low-scoring games. Mm-hmm. They are very solid in their own zone. You've got Goligoski, you got Oliver Ekman, Larson, and Nicholas Jaroslav, who played with Chicago for a long, long time. So they kind of help back there, solidify and keep Arizona competitive. With Nashville, they got Duchesne and Ryan Johansson, who need to step their games up, as well as Philip Forsberg and Victor Arvidsson. Definitely need to up their games if they're even going to have a chance and, you know, put some pucks in the net against this Arizona team, because they can really make you play ugly. Mm-hmm. What do you think about Rene? I mean,
he had a terrible year.
Yeah, he's got to find his game, Joe. This guy was a Vezina Trophy winner 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I mean,
he's definitely fallen out. It's his worst statistical year. I think it was below 900 in the save percentage for the first time. And for the first time, over 3 goals a game, he was given up. And so they got the youngster, was it UC Saros? But again, you're getting into that no playoff experience, so you got to start with Rene.
Yeah, and he's going to win. He could win a 5-game series for you if he redeems. Sure. And with this layoff, that could happen. But what about Arizona? You got Kessel, who's did not have a good year.
Mm-hmm.
All right, another guy that could really have this qualifier round really rejuvenate him.
He can score in bunches and take 3 games no problem if he comes out flying.
Yeah, and he's a playoff guy, Joe. He's got 77 points in 87 career playoff games, so that's not too shabby. Taylor Hall needs to produce as well.
Right.
He needs to get involved on both ends of the puck. Normally he's just a one-dimensional guy. You know, the players, the key players, I think that would make Arizona really go in this series are Schmaltz and Clayton Keller and Garland. They could cause problems for Nashville. So keep an eye on that. And then you have, Kemper?
Oh yeah. Kemper. Was it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He could be a key factor too. He had Vezina like stats probably up until his injury in December. So, you know, he could come back and be a difference, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They were really good defensively. So if they can regain that, they could make it a really tough and long five games on Nashville.
Well, and you know, Nashville's got the best player in the series, right?
Right.
I think he's the best player, you know, that dude's going to log a lot of minutes, probably more minutes than any player in this playoff. And that includes McDavid. I think he's going to log some minutes. So if I'm Arizona, I'm going to be putting a relentless forecheck on, and I'm going to pound the defense core of Josi, Ryan, Ellis, and Matthias Ekeland. Okay. I'm just going to wear them down. That's going to be, if I'm a coach Arizona, that's going to be my strategy. Keep it a low scoring series, and hopefully let the goaltenders decide it and get Taylor and Kessel in there for the odd goal and the key timing goal. I would take the Coyotes in five if that happens.
Right. Yeah, I struggled with this one. Will Nashville be able to score against the Coyote defense?
I don't think so.
It's a tough series. Arizona proved time and time again the first half of the season that they could win close games, and I don't know that Nashville can generate enough. I mean, they scored during the season, but I just think it's in the playoffs, defense can kill you if a defense is that good. And I think Arizona, like you said, is going to be able to shut down Nashville just enough and score just enough to squeak by and make it to the playoff round. So I got Arizona on that one.
And you got two goalies that are going to have to regain their form. You know, that could tell a story too. So that's going to be an interesting series. Not my favorite series in the playoffs by far, but it's probably the least favorite actually out of all of them. But there is some good storylines to it. Goaltending being one of them. And, you know, if Kemper can, I mean, he had 2.22 goals against average and a 929 save percentage. That's nothing to sneeze at.
Right.
So he was pushing Vezina numbers there too, Joe. And if he can regain that, you know, like I said, this 3-month layoff is really tough on goaltenders. So we'll see what happens. And then we'll see if some of the marquee players can regain some magic in their games that have been faltering all year. And maybe this qualifier round will give them that energy and that revitalization that they need to do that.
Right. The next matchup, the number 7 seed, the Vancouver Canucks against the 10 seed Minnesota Wild. Wild won 2 of 3 during the regular season. They're pretty evenly matched on the goal side for and against. Who are you liking in Vancouver and a Minnesota team that always seems to struggle late in the year and playoff time?
You know, Joe, I'm looking and got an interesting situation over in Minnesota. You have first year GM and coach. You got Billy Guerin and Dean Evason. I'm familiar with Dean Evason. He was up for the Player of the Year award my first year in junior when we were over in the Memorial Cup in Portland. And Dean Evason was a gritty guy out of the Western Hockey League, and I know he coaches that way too. So he's got that persona's got to carry over to his team. So he replaced Bruce Boudreau on Valentine's Day, okay, this past February. So a lot like Sheldon Keefe in a sense, you know, where you're going to get a guy who's persona as a player is going to carry over to his bench more than likely. And then, of course, Billy Guerin is Billy Guerin, a consummate professional and loads of experience in playoffs and cup success teams. And, you know, but I don't know. The Wild, I mean, they were hot. I think they were the team, Joe, that won 7 out of 10 before the shutdown.
They did, yes.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to really mean much. You know, maybe in the medical department, knowing they can win if they're clicking on all cylinders.
Right.
But let's face it, the Canucks have more talent. The only problem with the Canucks is they haven't built any – they've been inconsistent with it all year. So, I mean, you got Vancouver who has 420-goal scorers. Yeah, Ilya Peterson, you got JT Miller, Bo Horvat, and Tanner Pearson. Mm-hmm. Okay. They also picked up another 20-goal scorer at the deadline, Joe, and Tyler Toffoli.
Right.
A nice forward from L.A. who has had cup success. Mm-hmm. So with L.A., him and Pearson, I believe, came from L.A., and they know how to win. And they're in their 27 years of age or something. So that's two pretty good pieces of cup experience at a pretty young age. Then you look at they got also Quinn Hughes.
Right.
He's got young legs. And Vancouver basically has young legs with some of the players I've already mentioned, Miller, Toffoli, Pearson. I think that gives them the nod in this series in four. I don't think Minnesota has enough scoring punch with some of the old guys they have with, you know, Parisi and guys like that. You know, you got Alex Stalock, you know, the Minnesota goalie.
Yeah.
But that could be the difference there. You know, yeah. He's going to have to be way better than Markstrom.
Yeah, I was going to ask if Markstrom, what his status was, because he was on long-term IR a long time ago.
He had a leg injury in February, mm-hmm. late February, and I'm thinking he's back from that now, Joe. So, and he had numbers too. He was right up there with the goaltender we just spoke of for Nashville, for Vezina trophy type season. But I think just Vancouver just has too much in every area, Joe, for these guys. Minnesota, for the longest time, has always relied on tight scoring games and scoring timely goal. Dean Evason's going to have to implement a game plan like that because you don't want to go, you know, making it a wide open affair with the way Vancouver can transition on you. You know, so, mm-hmm. I mean, that's the key for me, for them, to even be in the series. But I think 3-1 for Vancouver.
Right. Yeah, I got Vancouver defeating Minnesota, even though Minnesota won 2 out of 3 in the regular season. I don't think that they're going to be able to keep up with Vancouver. Vancouver's going to score. They're going to score a lot. And with Markstrom back, I think that the goaltending is going to be good enough on the Vancouver side, and Minnesota's not going to be able to keep up. They're just, no matter what they do there in Minnesota, they just can't piece together a good playoff team, and I don't think it's going to start this year in this screwed up 2019-2020 season. The last matchup is probably the one I'm most excited to watch. Number 8, Calgary Flames, and number 9, Winnipeg Jets. The Jets won their only matchup during the season in an overtime game. Calgary scored 210 times and gave up 215. The Jets, backstop by Connor Hellebuyck, scored 216 times and gave up 203 goals. A battle of Alberta versus Manitoba, a classic Western Canada matchup. Who do you like in Calgary, Winnipeg?
Well, first of all, Joe, I'm going to concur with you. This is one of my favorite series. I'm kind of interested in that Columbus. Is it Columbus-Toronto?
I believe it is Columbus-Toronto.
That one interests me as well, just because of the varied styles. This game interests me because of both teams are kind of gritty teams. I think it's going to be a physical series. That's another thing, Joe. What do you think? These qualifying rounds, do you think they're going to be more finesse?
Oh, they can't.
Teams are going to lay the body.
Yeah, I think they all have to play really rough. They're going to have to wear the other team out.
Yeah, but with this series, I think you're going to get that. I have some keys to this series, and Zach and I always talked about Goodrow, and he's one of the most skilled players in the league, Joe. But can he produce at this time of the year and be a big time playoff performer? I'm not really sure he's proven that yet. This series could be a turning point in his career because you don't want to get the label of being a guy who can only perform in the regular season, not the real season. So that's going to be, viewed by me especially, but I know there's a lot of people in the hockey world that are going to be watching. The Jets are a pretty physical team, and they can wear you down. I think I'm going to give the edge in goaltending to Winnipeg in this series. I think Hellebuck, who's probably one of the better goalies in the league, he's a Vezina favorite this year. I think he's going to win out over the inconsistent tandem of Rittich and Talbot. I think Talbot's going to probably take the nod in between the pipes for Calgary. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I think they're going to go with Talbot. I don't think he played the bulk of the games during the season, so who knows, but that's who I would go with.
Yeah, I probably think that's what's going to happen. And then with Calgary to have any success, I think they're going to have to drive the crease on Hellebuck. They got the players to do it with Tkachuk and I believe what's the guy that came over from Edmonton?
Lucic.
Lucic, and guys like that, Lindholm again, Sean Monahan. They're going to need to produce. Goodrow especially, as we've already mentioned. But I still think this is going to be a 5-game series. I think Calgary's defensive core, which is pretty decent, they have their moments, though, are going to need to keep Wheeler and an underrated Kyle Connor and Scheifele and Patrick Alain. They're going to have to keep them at bay, and that's going to be tough to do. So I think they're going to have to be physical, Joe, but man, if they take penalties, that power play for Winnipeg – Kyle Connor's been on fire this year. I believe he's like the second highest scoring left wing in the league. Had a very good season thus far. He had 70-plus points. I believe this is going to be one of the most competitive series out of the eight qualifying series. And, another key player for the Jets, too, is Cody Eakin. They got him from Vegas at the deadline. I've always liked him. Kind of on the small side, but very gritty and playoff savvy, and he could be a huge factor in two ways, Joe. He could get the streaky Patrick Laine. Mm-hmm. How do you pronounce his name?
Laine.
Yeah, he's a pretty streaky player, but if Eakin can facilitate. Play his scrappy game where he's around the puck all the time and win battles and allow Laine to tee up, and get him in a scoring column early, Joe. That could set the tone for him to have a big playoff.
Mm-hmm.
So look for that to happen because he's kind of the same as Fedorov in a sense. When Fedorov was early in his career, he needed to be in the scoring column. I remember talking to Gerard Gallant about that via phone conversation once. And we were talking about Sergei, who just first came into the league. And I remember Gerard telling me, you got to see this kid Fedorov. And the only knock I have on him right now is like he's got to get in the scoring column early to kind of keep him interested in the game. It was almost like a diva type thing,
Right.
But eventually, he had Yzerman in his year, one series where they were blowing a 3-1 lead against St. Louis. And, he needed Fedorov to play through injuries and stuff. And I think that season was a turning point. He matured, kind of got away from that. But I think Liney's going to have to do that, and Eakin could really help him with that. Plus, you know, Eakin's going to be neutralizing the Flames, Sean Monahan, and Backlund, which it's not an easy thing to do. So with all that, I think the Jets have enough firepower. I think they're going to take it in five.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a really tough series. The Jets team, they're so big, and they can all finish. And
they wear you down.
Yeah, they can all score. They can all drive the net. They forecheck hard. And I think they're going to frustrate some of those young kids in Calgary, and they're going to get the better of them. And even if they don't, they still have Hellebuck in net, and three games is all they need to win. But I think it's going to go five games. I think it's going to be a really, really exciting series, but I'm going to take Winnipeg in that one for sure.
Okay, yeah. We might see a meltdown from Kachuk. It might be an old school like his dad used to do,
mm-hmm.
You know, in a playoff, you know, taking bad penalties. So I think Matthew has a little more discipline than his dad did at this point in his career. You never know. I mean, Winnipeg can do that to you, Joe.
Yeah.
And they could frustrate you and wear you down and lean on you. And if you're not getting scoring opportunities, and Hellebuck's not an easy guy to crack.
Right.
So that's going to be for me. And, you know, we'll see. The power play might come into play in that series as well. So we'll see what happens. But so we both got the Jets in five on that one.
Five. Yep. Jets in five. Yeah. They're going to have to be meeting about it. They should be meeting about it now, about playing disciplined, and don't let Absolutely. The Jets wear on them, and don't let them, you know, sucker them into bad penalties. Don't get frustrated, because they're going to have to play extremely disciplined.
And both those teams have a lot to prove, Joe, and, you know, because they kind of underachieved in recent playoff appearances. And, you know, I'm sure both of them want to get a crack at St. Louis. So, you know, if they end up in that meeting, especially the Winnipeg, weren't they bounced by them?
Yes. Yes, they were last season. So, that was a great series.
I would love to see that series again. I think it would be good for hockey. And, you know, it's going to be interesting. I can't wait till it fires up. I mean, literally in less than 12 hours, you're going to have teams on the ice and for true training camp. 2 weeks. Yeah. For 2 weeks.
Yeah, that'll be exciting to see. I wonder if they'll put that on the internet. They usually do training camps and whatnot. You can stream them. So I wonder if they'll that'll have any of that or if they'll keep the cameras out.
Yeah, they could do that too because of the COVID, but you know, another interesting point, Joe, before we let go, the next season, they have a projected start date for December 1st. Mm. So I'm just letting the viewers know that came down the pipe as well as part of the discussions that have been going on various topics. So I thought I'd throw that while it was on my mind.
Oh, yeah. December 1st, that's so tight. We'll take it.
I don't know if they're going to plan on 82 games? How are you going to get 82 games this in a month and a half?
Yeah, I heard.
It's usually first week of October, the games usually start. So you're missing a whole 7 weeks of – how are you going to fit 82 games in there?
I don't know. I've heard that Bettman wants to play all 82 games, so – maybe they'll be into July and then they'll straighten it out the season after. I don't know. You can only really save 2 weeks. You get rid of the bye week, it's a week, and you get rid of the All-Star game. It's 2 weeks you can get back. So maybe you're playing to the last week of June.
Yeah, I never liked the playing even in regular format without any stoppages or anything. I never liked hockey going past May. Mm-hmm. I always thought it should have ended in May. Come up with a playoff system that ends it in May. So maybe this thing will spin some ideas off these guys and league officials come the coaches meetings, whenever those are going to be now. But, you know, baseball, Joe, is going to 60-game schedule from 162.
Right.
That's going to be like us. That's a sprint right now. Mm-hmm. So they're actually starting. They're going to be starting in 3 weeks, the regular season, with the Tigers going to Cincinnati. There's a whole different strategy involved in that now. This isn't a baseball podcast, but
right.
just kind of drawing a parallel with what could happen in that next season with the NHL. Are they going to have to – the mindset going to be different with player personnel? Because, you know, will baseball even go to a five-man pitching rotation now that it's only 60 games? Or will they go into playoff mode?
Right.
So yeah. Something to think about for the NHL needs to kind of be watching this because, you know, I don't think they're going to be playing an 82-game schedule. I'd really be surprised. Or it's going to they're going to have to modify the playoffs, like the length of the rounds, maybe have best to two or three, or which, you know, they used to do.
Never say never. Never say never with Bettman. Yeah. He's shoving this season down our throat to make sure they get the cup out. So if he says 82, I can see him doing something to get all 82 in. He needs to make up money, too, that he lost this year. So.
Well, and you're going to have players hurting themselves, too, because it's an unforgiving sport when you're playing. Yeah. Because if he wants 82 in that time frame, he's going to have to do back-to-back-to-back. That's a tough thing to do.
I'd like to see the gate for these games and what the league is estimating, because if they're going to allow people to come to the games, like, when does it cost the league? Well, I don't think they're going to play in the playoff games. I'm talking about next season. Like, when does it actually cost the league money to allow people in? If you're only allowing 5,000 people into a game when there's normally 20,000 or 18,000, you're allowing 5,000 people in. It might cost you more to run the facility than to actually have those people in there buying concessions and the people you got to pay to work. So I'd like to see how they're breaking this down to figure out what they're going to do for the next year.
Well, that reminds me real quick also is they were talking, still leaving it open, about allowing fans to come to these qualifier games and playoff games. That it wasn't a definite no. So they were talking. So if you got a 20, each of those is like a 20,000 seat venue, I believe.
Right. Yeah.
So roughly. You're talking, if you're doing social distancing and everything, maybe a gate of, 3,000, 3,000 to 5,000.
Right. Yeah. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know what that's going to do, but.
Well, they're doing They're doing half capacity in a lot of places. So, yeah, maybe they'll allow 8,000 to 10,000 people in, depending on the capacity.
I would be surprised if it was that much. I really would be surprised. Yeah. But that's going to be another thing I'm going to keep my ear to the internet to find out, what decision they make on that. And, like I said, I'm just excited to get to view some hockey, and it's going to be interesting to see how these players and teams perform. It could look real sloppy the first game or two.
Right. Now, there's definitely be a different strategy to it, and it'll be interesting to see who gets it right away and who doesn't. See who stayed in better shape during this delay.
Going to be that, but it's also going to be styles because could you imagine like the Red Wings back in the day when they were a powerhouse? They were a puck possession team. Mm-hmm. A puck possession team like Pittsburgh, I'm still thinking they're fancying themselves as a puck possession team. There's not too many of those. I think they're going to struggle more than the Chip and Chase teams right off the get.
Could be. Yeah.
Fair assessment, Joe?
Yeah, and then the other dynamic that we've talked about before is these teams have known for a month now that they're going to be playing each other. So they're strategizing. Normally you have, 2 days? Maybe 3, 4 at the most to plan for your playoff match. So now they These teams, these managers and coaches are putting together a plan, and you got to base it off of the game tape that you can watch. So does one of these teams or multiple teams pull a wild card and change their system slightly to try to throw the other team off? What are they going to do? That'll be interesting to see.
Anything's possible, and that's what's going to make it unique in itself. I mean, not only is this whole situation unique, it the strategy and everything that spins on the situation is just it's going to be something to behold, and buckle your seats, people, because it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, we'll get some summer hockey here pretty soon. Joe Gramatico, Tom Kaliopoulos. See you back here next time on the Ledger Side.